I'm deeply humbled this morning. I thank you so much for just lifting me up in prayer. And that's the number one comment I've had from everybody recently is they say, hey, we're praying for you. And I think that that makes all the difference. And Brad, you're going to be in trouble tomorrow for this. It's review time. No, I'm just kidding. We won't do that. I just want to also let you guys know, so appreciative of those of you that came at 8:30 this morning as we raised the flag for the first time. Brother Charlie led us in just a great moment there together. I know that there were some that helped install this, and they really didn't want recognition, and it's not necessarily recognition, but I know that James and Keith and Michael, you guys were very instrumental in making that possible, and we really thank you that you did such a great job. Just is really something that we'll cherish for many, many years to come. Also want to let you know that Baptism Sunday, we're doing one of these. We do this about three or four times a year. We will have a moment probably the week before, probably March 1st, where we will meet in the fellowship hall after one of our services and just kind of talk about this. If this is a commitment you have not made, please just let me know. I think there's a sign up at the welcome booth, but we'll have an opportunity to share in this together and something that would be very powerful in all of our lives as we journey in faith. So just let me know if that's something that you guys have not yet done and definitely want to be a part of. We're ending a series called Start with Sabbath today. And this has been kind of a roller coaster for me personally because I've never preached on Sabbath before. And it's one of those things that I really don't know how I'm supposed to do this because I'm really bad at Sabbath. And God is even using the last couple of months to just really teach me that I need to slow down, I need to find a better rhythm, and I need to start trusting Him more and trying to do less on my own. But one of the questions that I've had through this whole series is, why did God make Sabbath? What was the purpose behind that? Why did God give us this time or this moment to say, I really want you to find this space in your lives that is a space of rest and a space of worship? And one of the things that I've said over and over again is that Sabbath is about trust. We see this in the Old Testament when God gives people the law and He says, I want you to trust me. When He tells them to go and get manna every single day, He says, I want you to trust me. When they go into battle against the enemy that they're far outnumbered, God says to them, I want you to trust me. And as Jesus comes on to the scene, we see that Jesus has this connection with Sabbath. There is this thing that takes place in the life of Jesus that He deals with this because He's trying to get people back to why God gave this and what the ultimate purpose was. Now in Matthew, which is the first book of the New Testament, Matthew chapter 12, there is a passage. I'm going to put it on the screen for you today. But Jesus actually has this moment or this interaction about Sabbath with people that are following Him and with the religious leaders or the opposition almost at that time. But listen to these words, and we're going to talk about this a little bit today. In Matthew chapter 12, it says, at that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry, and so they began to pick some of the heads of grain and eat them. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to Him, look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath. Now, first of all, first little clue in this, they're walking through a field and the Pharisees notice, which tells you that the Pharisees are following Jesus. They're trying to get dirt on Him. They're trying to catch Him doing something that they believe is unlawful. Now, the Jews had one law in the book of Exodus and in the book of Deuteronomy that said, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. But they had invented all the ways that you had to Sabbath. You can't turn light switches on. You can't boil meat. You can't light candles. You can't walk so many feet from your bedroom to the other. They'd come up with all these laws, and that's what they're speaking to with Jesus. They're saying, our laws, they're violating. In verse 3, Jesus says, haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and he and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do, but only for the priests. Or haven't you read in the law that the priests on Sabbath duty in the temple desecrate the Sabbath, yet are innocent? I tell you that someone greater than the temple is here. If you had known what these words mean, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, you would have not condemned the innocent, for the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus is saying, I am in charge of what happens on the Sabbath because I made Sabbath. Okay. Verse 9, going from that place, he went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Looking for a reason to bring charges against Jesus, they asked him, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath. And he says to them, if any one of you has a sheep that falls into a pit on the Sabbath, would you not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a person than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Now the reality of what he's sharing here is that he wants this man to do something great. Verse 13, he says, then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. So he stretched it out, and it was completely restored, just as the other. But the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might kill Jesus. Now, if you jump over to Mark chapter 2, just a reiteration of what Jesus says in Matthew. But in verse 27 of Mark, it says, then he said to them, to the Pharisees, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man, speaking about himself, is Lord of even the Sabbath. Now, I want to ask the question, what is Jesus teaching about Sabbath? You know, I've always wondered when I read this text, if he was going to frustrate the religious leaders so much, why didn't he just do it on a Monday or on a Tuesday? Why didn't he do it on one of those days that they would have nothing to say and they would actually be able to follow him, but he does it on the Sabbath on purpose? Now, I've thought about this a lot and a lot. What the religious leaders have really told the people is that God made you so that you would keep his commandments. Okay, when Haley and I decided to have children, how did that conversation go? We didn't say, well, you know, we really need somebody to yell at, so let's have kids. You know, I really want to be obeyed, so I'm going to have children, and my goal in life will be for them to obey me. And that's why I'm going to have children. No, that's not what we did. We said we want to pass on our legacy. We want it to be more than just about us. We want it to be bigger than us. We want relationship. We want to love these new entities. And that is what Jesus is really saying to them when he's kind of pushing back. He's saying, listen, you guys have told people that God only loves them as far as they do exactly what is right. God did not make you so that you could keep laws. God made you because he loves you, because he desires relationship with you, because he wants to be in community with you. That's why God made you. In fact, he even went so far as to give you the opportunity not to be in relationship with him so that when you choose it, it means so much more. And Jesus comes and he says this, look, people were not made to keep God's law. People were not made to keep Sabbath. The Sabbath was God's gift to his people. And Jesus uses these lines. He says, you know, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. It was made for us. We were not made for it. And that's the disconnect that happens in the Old Testament. That's the disconnect that happens with the religious leaders. They've told people, as long as you do everything right, God will love you. And as soon as you do something wrong, you fall from grace. And Jesus is coming back and he's saying, Sabbath is a gift from God. That's how much God loves you. God is a good father who wants to give good gifts to his children. Sabbath is not about the law. Sabbath is about grace. Jesus is turning the tide with how they see the world. And he's saying, stop thinking that you're only as good as how obedient you are. Start realizing that you are a precious child of the King. You see, Sabbath is more than rules. It is a blessing and a reminder that God will work while we rest. When we trust God enough to lay it down, he will do what we are unable to. That's why we love passages like Psalm 46 that say, be still and know that I am God. Do you know how hard it is to do this? Do you know how hard it is to stop, to create silence and space in our lives so that God can work? The knowledge that he is our Father who loves us, not just some tyrant who wants us to obey him. Or what about Exodus 14 that says, the Lord will fight for you, you only need to be still. I need to get a tattoo of this somewhere. I really do. The Lord will work if you give him room to do that. If you stop trying to do it up by yourself, he will take care of it for you. Man, that's a hard thing to live into. But when we relinquish control, Sabbath will connect us back to God. It will give us a way back to him. Hebrews chapter, Hebrews chapter 4 speaks about, Hebrews chapter 4, it speaks about this idea, and this is a word to the church, a word to the believers, a word to the saved. In chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, "Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of us have fallen short of it. For we also have had the good news proclaimed to us just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them because they did not share faith with those who obeyed. Now we who have believed enter that rest just as God said, 'So I declare an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest.'" These were people that really missed the point of who God ultimately was. If you drop down to verse 6, it says, "Therefore, since it still remains for some to enter the rest, and since those who formerly had the good news proclaimed to them did not go in because of their disobedience." What he's really saying in the midst of this is people that understand God, people that understand who God is and the gift that God has given, we look forward to this idea of finding rest. We long for the days that God can be made big in our lives when we take a smaller role. It is an anticipation of heaven. It's an anticipation of what is to come. When the faithful that are told, "Good, well done, good and faithful servant, you may enter my rest, you may enter into the master's kingdom." That's what this story is about. It's about the anticipation of what is to come next. It is also a pledge of the saved. Those people who have said, "I want to trust God first and foremost." Isn't it amazing that we serve a God that not only doesn't just work us to death, but says, "I want to give you opportunities of faith that you can step into Sabbath, you can step into rest, and I will hold you and I will do what you cannot." This is why Jesus in Matthew 11 says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus tells this to his disciples, to the people that are following him. And he says to them, "Trust me. Don't trust you. Come to me. Bring everything that you have and lay it down. And take up what is mine." Now, we sometimes read this to say, well, the yoke of Jesus is easy. It doesn't mean that you'll just have an easy life. What it means is he's already written the end of the story. He's already gone down that road for us. And we really step in line behind him. And he will ultimately lead us home. The command in the Old Testament is remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. You know, we use that word remember when we talk about the Lord's Supper. Jesus with his disciples, in a moment of Passover, in a moment of Sabbath, he says to them, "Do this as you remember me." The connection between those words is profound. It's amazing. God didn't give us a command in the same way that he said, "Don't murder, don't kill, don't do this." He gave it to us as a gift, saying, "Remember. Remember this day because it is a wonderful gift. Remember when I fed you in the desert. Remember when I gave you the promised land. Remember when I sent you the Messiah. Just remember." And keep that separate. Keep a part of your life compartmentalized only for God. And he will do amazing things when we relinquish that control. You know, there was a great movie many years ago that some of you probably watched. It was called The Help. And it was about kind of 1950s, 1960s America. And there's a scene right at the end with a character played by Viola Davis. She has this confrontation with her boss. And she's done nothing wrong. But this person is really has it in for her. But she says some profound words to this person. She just looks at them and she says, "Aren't you tired? Aren't you tired? Is this who you want to be? Is this who you want to be known for?" In our world today, it's amazing when you ask people, "How are you doing?" The number one response, outside of "fine," people say, "I'm really tired. I'm tired, I'm worn out." And I think there's a tie-in between that and the fact that we have not found the rest of God. I haven't found it fully, but I'm trying. Maybe part of that is that we have to lay down certain things before we can take up an easier yoke. What do you need to lay down? What is it that stands in the way from you trusting God more? For me, it's easy. I never feel like I'm doing enough. And I'm hearing the voice of God say, "You're not trusting me enough. And I'm going to try better to do that." What's in the way? What do you need to lay down so that you can pick up the yoke of Jesus and find the gift of God? Father, today, may you hear our broken hearts, our hearts that have believed the lie